There we go. Got something. All right, we're going to take 3 minutes. That's all. 3 minutes. Very quickly, if you need a pen, maybe somebody has one. This is just for fun, just for information's sake. So we got plenty of pens, so if somebody needs a pen, raise your hand and they'll see that you get one. Okay, there's a pen there. There's And just so you know, I passed this test, okay? So here we go. 3 minutes beginning. Oh, you didn't get a copy yet? Okay. No notes. Nobody can use notes. Nobody can use notes. It's all got to be from memory. 3 minutes beginning now. All right, we're down to 2 minutes. All right, 1 minute to go. Ten seconds. And we are done, so put your pens away. And I'd like you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Father, we just thank you for the worship and your presence here and for the song, and we just give this time to you. Thank you for your word. There's an anointing on your word, and I thank you that each of us are open to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're coming to the end of another year, and although we still have a few days left, this is the last Sunday of 2010. You know, yesterday was Christmas, and Pastor Debbie and I we're in that period of our lives where Christmas is more about spending time with our families than it is about gifts. You know, and I think it's that when you have children or when you are a child, or there's like those first Christmases or whatever when you're married, those are key times where Christmas has, and the gifts and the excitement about that. When you have grandchildren, you know, we're in between stages. Our kids are older and we don't have grandchildren just yet. But, you know, it has more to do with spending time with the family than it does with the gifts. And so we've really enjoyed this week. Now we know what we want for Christmas. I've had my Christmas presents since Thanksgiving, and so has Pastor Debbie, and we've been enjoying it for the month of December. So it's nothing big about things being under the tree. But I remember when the kids were smaller, and there was just such that anticipation of that morning, and you prepare for it, and you wrap up the presents, and you know you're real excited about the gifts that you're getting the children, and because you know how excited they're going to be when they open them. And I know back then, it's not so much anymore, I don't think, but I know back then, with especially with Katie, there was a lot of things that she wanted. There was assembly involved. And so myself and Debbie's father would spend sometimes 3 or 4 hours putting things together, and you're hoping you have all the right equipment and the screws and everything fits, and you can understand the instructions. But then when Christmas morning comes and then all the kids run in, there's this hour frenzy of opening gifts. And then when that's done, you can just kind of sit around, and it's just like all of that preparation is over in an hour. And then you're just kind of looking back on things. Well, you know, that can be the same way with a year. You can come to the end of a year and you can kind of look back and everything is just kind of blurred. You know, it's just so much activity. So many things have happened. Busy, you know, life is busy and it seems to be getting busier. And when you get to the end of the year, we can ask one of two questions, or maybe both. And one of them is, where did it go? And I think the older you get, I always heard this and I'm finding it to be true. The older you get, the faster time seems to fly. And I don't know why that is, but it just seems that way. The second question we could ask ourselves is, you know, what did I learn this year? You know, did I make any improvements? Did I make any changes? Am I the same person that I was at the beginning of the year as I am now? You know, was there any changes that took place in my life for the better? And so I've asked you to turn to Deuteronomy because there is an important principle that we need to understand before we completely move into the new year. And we're just going to look at verse 1 right now. And it says, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel," notice, "on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab." You know, why wasn't it between Aberdeen and Bel Air? And in any case, Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible, and it was written by Moses. And this book is very significant because of a purpose that it served. They were about to enter into the land, the promised land. They had left, if you understand, you know, Genesis was about beginnings, and it was about creation, and it was about Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Jacob going into Egypt, and the nation of Israel being established. And then we come to the book of Exodus, was where God freed Israel from Egyptian bondage. And so, you know, between Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, they were talking about the wanderings in the wilderness and the giving of the law and the sacrifices and those kind of things. And so it encompasses a 40-year period of time. And then we come to the book of Deuteronomy. And it's here that Moses, he knew they were right on the edge of going into the promised land. And so Moses gathers all of Israel together because there's something that he wants them to understand. He wants to tell them. He wants them to see something on this side of the Jordan before they move across the river and go to the other side of the Jordan. And he wanted to recount or retell the law to Israel so that it would be fresh in their memories, and that it would be the foundation that they would build their new lives on. In fact, the word Deuteronomy means second law or repetition of the law. It could be called the second telling of the law. So this whole book revolves around Moses gathering the people together, and he just begins to retell them. In fact, he recounts all of the voyages that they made, the journeys, the different steps of the journey. He breaks it up. He talks to them about the lessons they learned on each aspect of the voyage or the trip that they made. And then he recounts the law, and he tells them, you know, we're familiar with Deuteronomy 28, which talks about the blessings that we receive when we obey the law, and then the cursings that come when we disobey the law. And so Moses recounts this, and he tells them because he wants them to remember this as they go into the new land. And so it was very vital for them to understand this. And so, you know, even though they were going to experience new challenges and new growth and new enemies and new victories in the promised land, the law of God was to be their foundation that would never change. It was what they were to build their life on, and he did not want them to forget it. And so he was telling them again. And this morning, I feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to do the same thing. So, you know, in a few days, we're going to be entering into the new year with a new set of challenges and new ministry opportunities, new victories, new blessings. But just because we're entering into something new doesn't mean that we forget the old. In fact, we are to build on the old, which is going to bring us into the fullness of what God wants us to see in the new. Are you with me? We understand that. So, as I've recently stated, just because 2010 is coming to an end does not mean that the promise of God for this year is over. Because what God wanted to do, it's the beginning of what he wants to do, and he wants to carry that over into the new year. And I will say, though, that the adjustments that we made this year will determine the level of blessings that's going to come into our life in the new year. Now, there were two reasons why I gave you the test, and I'm debating about whether to receive those or not. I kind of really would like to. So don't write your names on it if you already haven't. But there were two reasons why I gave you the test. And first, if you did poorly or failed the test, then, and I'm going to say this very bluntly, then there should not have been an expectation of receiving the promise for this year. Okay? Look, we all are to hear from God personally. And in that sense, If you think about it, each time that you open the Bible every day, each time that you open the Bible, it is like unwrapping a new gift from God for you. Because you open up that Bible and God speaks to your heart. It's unwrapping a new revelation to your heart. And so we need that. But by the same token, each week's sermon is the same. Whether I preach it or someone else does, it is a gift for us as a congregation. It's a corporate hearing. It's not just a sermon, but I believe with all my heart it is a prophetic word from God for us as a body. And it doesn't matter if the sermon excites you or not. It is prophetic, and it needs to be embraced. And so each week is a building block that builds on the previous week. And so They're really, I want to encourage us in this area. There's no excuse for us not receiving what God wants for us, what he prophesies for us. So, number one, it's important to be here. But if you have to miss for some reason, there's still no excuse, because you can pick up a CD of the message, or you can listen to the CDs online or the sermons online. That's awesome. We're in technology now where that can happen. Now, let me tell you, there was no recording from last week. I'm sorry. I was told that there was something that happened. But for most weeks, within a few days, Carl takes a message home with him. If everything worked properly and we don't have to redo something, he takes the message home with him. It is on the website, you know, either that day or Monday. And so you can listen to it at your convenience. And I think we're working on technology where you can actually download it and record it onto a CD, so you can actually hear it more than once if you want to. So whether it's me or somebody else preaching, we need to get that word. So my encouragement is, hear the word each week, then meditate on the word each week, and then apply the word each week. And if you take each of these building blocks that you receive week after week after week and apply it to your life, meditate on it, allow the Holy Spirit. And again, the Holy Spirit is so awesome because he can take a single word and he can break it down to each one of us, what we need to hear, what we need in our heart, and what's going to help us to change our life. And he'll do that. And if we will do that diligently and listen and apply, our lives will be different. Any amens? So we can come to the end of the year and say, you know, I missed what God had for me. Maybe by looking at your test right there, and I gave you a very simple, even with the bonus question, I gave you a very simple test. I could have made it hard, but this was basic. And if you failed, then you can look at that and say, I just missed what God had for me this year. Now, the second reason why I'm doing this is because I don't want this to happen next year. All right? So I want, when we start next Sunday morning, and I do have, I believe, a prophetic word for us as a church, when we start next week, I want you to apply that. You know, it's great to take notes, but if you take notes, look at them every once in a while, okay? You know, get, because I'm very emphatic about this. I just believe that not only what I share is God's word for us as a church, but when other people come in, I believe that it was interesting to me to see how words just lined up when we had guest speakers that just encouraged or emphasized the same aspect of things. And so I just want to encourage us in that area. So next year, if you failed this test, maybe we'll do it again next year. I'll give you a simple quiz at the end of next year, and we'll see if you do better. All right? You still with me? All right. Now, I am going to do a quick Deuteronomy of 2010, all right? We're on this side of January the 1st. On Saturday, we're going to be Friday night at midnight. We're moving across the line into a new year, and there's some new things that God has for us. You know, in a sense, on the calendar, maybe, you know, beginning of a new year for some, as well as just another day. But I really think there are significances to the ends of years and beginning of years. It kind of gives us a feeling of new beginnings, and I believe that God does have a word for us. But I declared that 2010 was to be a year of great favor and blessing for us. Favor and blessing in our families and favor and blessing on our church. I began the year by defining favor and what God wanted to do in us, and just very quickly, the definition of favor, different aspects of it was, number one was a force of God, the power and equipment for ministry, a power that enables us to do what we cannot do on our own. So I told us to expect a greater anointing for ministry this year, and this is the main reason for favor. Second was a state of being to be held in high regard, and I said that favor will rest upon us. Third, it's pleasure and joy. Life would be more joyful this year. Four was the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds, graciousness, loving kindness, goodwill generally. And God would even, I said, stated, that would transform some of our personalities this year. Some of us really needed that. The fifth was to be granted an advantage. Abraham's blessings are ours. We are the head, not the tail. The sixth was being victorious in battles. You know, we're going to win battles this year. And the seventh was the sum of earthly blessings, and experiencing the good life is not just about things, although it will include them, but it was more about fulfillment and fruitfulness. And we'll see a carry of that over into the next year. And this favor would come into our lives as we align with God in all areas of our life. But I also stated this favor is also determined by keys. Your bonus question was, what did I give each one of you? And I gave each one of you a key blank. And I still carry mine with me. And I believe, and I stated that these represent areas in our life, and each of us have individual areas that need to be unlocked, that the enemy has blocked up for some reason. And I encourage you to keep this on your keychain so that you can look at it and use it as a focal point of your faith. You know, what was that area? For some of you, you've probably seen it unlocked. For some of you, maybe you're looking at your key and spiritually you can see the cut marks being made, and you know you're getting close to having that open for you. And so then we began to look at 10 master keys or biblical principles that we must all flow in, so that as we do, we will allow God to cut our individual keys. So there's some personal things that God wants to do, but there were 10 things that I shared that God wants to do corporately that each one of us need to operate in. And the first one was faith, and that was faith in God, and we looked at the faith that pleases God. The second master key was prevailing prayer, and that was, we used the push method, which was to pray until something happens. The third key was unity. God's blessings and favor will automatically happen when we're in unity. The fourth was service, and that is, I asked the question, what's in the house? Meaning, what potential is inside of us that God can use to bless others? The fifth key was perseverance. You know, we can't give up despite the pressures and challenges that we go through, and that seemed to be a theme that came up several times over the year. And for some of us right now that are dealing with, you're tired of the cold already. You know, it's December the 26th, and it's cold, and it's been cold now for several weeks. And the message that I gave, I believe it was back in February, I think it was right after the snowstorm, was spring is coming. You know, and so a couple of months, we can hold on to it. But the key is what you persevere through this year sets you up for what God wants to do for you in the future. If you don't persevere through it, then there's no foundation for God to do what he wants to do in your life. And so we have to persevere through these things, because that becomes the foundation for the great and exciting things that God wants to do for us. The sixth key was a worshipful heart. We need to have a heart that pursues God and keeps us in tune with God all throughout the day. The seventh key was wisdom, or right choices. You know, you cannot have God's favor in your life if you keep making wrong choices in your life. You're just messing up what God wants to do. You know, so we needed wisdom and right choices. The eighth key was righteousness and right living. If you're not living right, then you can't expect to have God's favor. The ninth key was generosity, and that speaks of being a generous and giving person. And then the tenth key was, we called our pep key, which was pursuit, expectancy, and purpose. And that really dealt with the passion of the heart for the presence of God and for the purposes and things of God. And then I share from my heart the Father's house laments, and this was a message that I believe was a grieving from the Father about how easy it is for us to miss coming to church and miss the purpose of the church, and how each one of us needs to have a zeal for the Father's house. And I believe that God has designed his plans around the church and what goes on in the church. And the church in America, including this one, has become too lax about being faithful to the church and the ministries and the purpose of the church. And so I was just encouraging us to really reconnect with God's purpose for the house. I also spoke of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob generations. And I was relating that I believe that we're in a point where the faith was being passed down from Abraham to Isaac and from Isaac to Jacob. But I believe we're at a point now in the church where most of our Abrahams are gone. You know, those founding fathers that established, and mothers that really established that generation that created this awesome move of the Spirit of God or brought it into existence because of their hunger. You know, and we're the children of the Abrahams. And the challenge is that a lot of those Abrahams are gone. They're dying. They're gone. And now we're left with an Isaac and a Jacob generation. And I've seen this, you know, that Isaac is not as passionate, not as determined, not as hungry as what Abraham was. And because of that, it has such an adverse effect upon the Jacobs. And so I was encouraging us as Isaacs, as those in that second generation, to really stir up a passion for the things of God so that our children see that. If they see compromise, they're going to be worse. I have seen in people's lives that that area of compromise in our life is what the enemy will use to accentuate what he wants to do in our children. That one area that we leave undone is the area that he will magnify in the minds of our children and create, you know, he'll use that as a weapon against them. And so I was encouraging us as Isaacs, you know, we've got to stir up that hunger. We have got to press into the things of God, because I believe that a passionate Isaac generation is going to have, it's going to release a greater Jacob generation. And that's so vital, because I believe that God wants to use the Jacob generation to change this world, to impact this world more so than what anything Isaac could do. Are you with me? And I'm very serious about that. So I was just encouraging us as parents, you know, let's check ourselves. Let's really make sure that we're living the life that we should, that we're pressing into the things of God that we should, because our children are watching us and they will pattern their life after what we do. We looked at the power of the Father's blessing, and we dealt with the Sinai syndrome, which was the importance of everyone hearing from God for themselves and not having to go to the priest. And then another crucial revelation that we looked at was the subject of shepherds and sheep. And in this, you know, we have the revelation that we're all sheep. We understand that. You know, we hear John 10 where it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. And so we have this understanding that God wants to take care of us, and he loves us, and he wants to heal us and comfort us and all of those things that Psalm 23 says. But the other element is that we're all shepherds as well. Because if the good shepherd dwells inside of us, then we have the heart of the good shepherd. And so God wants us to be nurturers and gatherers. And really it talks about evangelism and just reaching out to the hurting people and being a source of comfort and joy and ministry. And then nurturing, bringing them to the place where you can nurture and encourage and bring them up in the understanding of God. So we're not only all sheep, but we're also all shepherds. And then came the message encouraging us to get off the porch. And I talked about the fact that, you know, the Pool of Bethesda had five porches where the sick people would gather to wait for the stirring of the water. And I share with you five basic categories of things going wrong in people's lives today. And the first one was the insufficient money porch. You know, when you have insufficient money, you have problems. And really, sometimes it has nothing to do with fancy clothes and fancy cars and things like that. Sometimes it's just getting the basic needs of your home met. And when there's insufficient money, you know, it creates all kinds of problems and it keeps you from fulfilling what God wants you to do. But I also stated that sometimes we're in this position because we keep making wrong financial decisions that keep us bound up. So in order to get off that porch, not only do we need to have God do a miracle for us, but we need to use some wisdom, so because God can do miracles and God can meet needs, but then we're back on the porch again because we don't have the wisdom to handle what God places in our hands. And so getting off the porch is not just the miraculous provision of God that gets us out, but it's also us using the wisdom that God gives us in order to stay off that porch. We talked about relationship porch. This is not just dealing with romance, but it deals with family. You know, can't get along with mama, can't get along with daddy, you can't get along with brothers or sisters. You know, if you can't get along with mama and you can't get along with your sister and you can't get along with your brother and you can't get along with your coworker and you can't get along with your neighbors and you can't get along with the other people in your life, it lets me know maybe there's something wrong with you. You know, if everybody else gets along and you can't get along with them, maybe the problem is not them, all right? And so we dealt with the relationship aspect of things. You know, if your relationships aren't right, it affects your life, it affects your family, it affects your marriage, it affects your work, and makes life miserable. And so we need to get off that porch. Health porch was illness within the body, you know, believing God for healing. The spirit of the attitude porch, and this is a big one because, you know, attitude determines how we look at life and everything, how everything affects us in life. If you have the right spirit, you can pretty much deal with anything. But if our attitudes are wrong, then it affects everything else around us. Then we talked about the relationship with God porch. And this primarily deals with intimacy with God and trust in God. And when this is wrong, it affects every other area. But if our relationship with God is right, then he's going to direct us through every area of our life. And, you know, we need to have the intimacy with God. And so we looked at how to get off the porch in each of these areas. And then Mike Harrington helped me in the month of October. We took that whole month and we studied the book of James. You know, and I really received a lot of encouraging feedback from that. You know, a lot of people told me they really enjoyed doing that. And so we'll pick out another book and do that next year. But James is a very powerful book of the Bible and could really be called a Christian's manual for living because it covers so many important aspects of the Christian life. You know, I've heard commentators call James the Proverbs of the New Testament because it's filled with wisdom on how to live. James dealt with very practical things like patience and perseverance. There's that word again. About controlling the tongue, the idea of how faith and works work together. Understanding that works do not save us. You know, we're saved by grace. But when we're saved, God expects us to do works. You know, there's an outflow of being born again. And I love the way James says it. I think it's in the Message Bible, but he says, faith without works is nothing but a corpse. It's dead. And then James also dealt with the war that takes place inside of each of us between giving ourselves to righteousness or to the flesh. We also learned that the power of God is inside of each one of us to do great exploits. And he talked about Elijah praying for a drought and then praying for rain. And we have the same two qualities that Elijah had. We're human and we can live a righteous lifestyle. Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And I love that promise. We concluded the year by looking at four characters in the Bible that experienced God's favor and why they did. We saw how Joseph contended for God's favor, how Naomi was a type of the Holy Spirit as she worked with Ruth preparing for God's favor. And then we talked about David's living in God's favor. He had such a passion for God and knowing God that because of that, he lived in favor not only with God, but also with man, even with his enemies. You know, I got a new revelation of Psalm 23 where it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I mean, you realize that David killed the Philistine champion, yet he ended up going and living with the Philistines, and the king loved him and fed him and took care of him. I mean, that's favor with man. And David had it because he had favor with God. And then when we finished with Mary and finding favor with God. Now, that was very quick. I think I preached 40 times last year. So we got that done in just a few minutes. But maybe some of you need to listen to some of those messages again, and if you took notes, look them over again. And again, because 2010 is ending does not mean that what was promised is ending. But this is the beginning of great favor and blessings. And I, to be honest with you, I'm not sure that I felt stronger about a word from the Lord than I did this year. I felt that strong about it. So whether you're walking in it fully or you started to see it a little bit or haven't seen anything at all yet, keep holding on to the word because something happened this year that's going to open up something next year if you hold on to it. All right. So maybe that word perseverance means that you still got to persevere a little bit more, but hold on to it because it's coming. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says that God watches his word to fulfill it. And when he gives the word, he watches over it to fulfill it. So God wants to fulfill his promise in our lives. He wants to continue what he began in you this year and build on it for the future. He is never done with us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 32 for the last scripture that we're going to look at this morning. Deuteronomy 32. And verse 45. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel. He had just gone through the Deuteronomy of 40 years of wandering and 40 years of commandments and 40 years of the law and 40 years of the lessons that they had learned. And he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe. all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life, and by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Did we catch that? I want to read it to you from the Message Bible. It's a little bit more emphatic. Moses said, "Take to heart all these words to which I give witness today, and urgently command your children to put them into practice, every single word of this revelation. Yes, this is no small matter for you. It's your life. In keeping this word, you'll have a good and long life in this land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess." I love that. Take it to heart. Urgently command your children to put them into practice. It's your life. It's in keeping this word that you're going to have a good and long life in the land that you're crossing over to possess. So as we get ready to move into 2011, we have a decision to make. What are we going to take with us into the new year? And what are we going to leave behind? Moses knew that the things that kept Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years would create the same trappings and fruitlessness if they were carried into the new land they were about to enter. And I want us to enter into this new year with new freedom and new anticipation. You know, I really believe that I have an encouraging prophetic word for us next year that I want to share with you next week. But leave behind those things that kept you on the porch. Leave behind the spiritual apathy. Leave behind the frustrations, the impatience, and the resistance to God's will for your life. Moses knew that even though Israel had learned many lessons over the 40 years in the wilderness, it was going to be easy for them to kind of slip back into the old way of living in mediocrity and back to wrong attitudes and actions. And that's why he retold them all the things they needed to hear. And he wanted Joshua to keep retelling them so that they wouldn't forget. And I love what Peter said. Sometimes people wonder why preachers preach the same thing, maybe the same theme. And Peter, he just said, "As long as I am in this tent," meaning the flesh, "I am going to repeat and repeat and repeat these messages because I want you to get it." And so I know I'm going to be touching on some of the same things that we looked at this year as we move into the next year. But I do it because I want us to get it. I want to get it. I want us to get it and not lose it. And that was what Moses was telling the Israelites. He wanted them to capture it. And I believe he was reminding Joshua the fact that he needed to teach those things as well. He wanted them to enter into the new land with new hope, new freedom, new joy. And I want us to enter into the new year the same way as well. And so I encourage us to choose, even this 52nd Sunday of 2010, even if you missed all 51 other weeks, you let us slide by. This morning, choose life. Choose to grab hold of the word and embrace it. Choose to receive God's favor and blessings as we enter into 2011. I want you to stand with me. I want us to repeat our great favorite confession. And I want us to do this with gusto and meaning. And I updated it slightly because when I gave it to her originally, it was at the beginning of the year. And now we're in toward the end of the year. And I want us to be able to capture this. So I want us to say this together. All right? Are we ready? Here we go. I believe that I have entered a season of unusual great favor from God. During this season, God is making me the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, always the top dog, never the underdog. I am like a tree planted by the river of life, bringing forth life, its fruit of the Spirit, and whatever I do shall prosper. During this time, it won't matter what comes against me, because God is for me. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He has given me the garment of praise instead of a heavy burden, failing spirit. He is giving me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. God is throwing open the windows of blessing on me. He is opening doors of opportunity before me. He has opened his hand of favor over my life, and it will be obvious to all. His ears are open to my prayers. So I will ask without doubting, I will seek without wavering, and I will knock without timidity. Is that it?
No. I will not use this
opportunity for myself alone, but I will bless those around me as I am being blessed. I believe God for opportunities to do what seems impossible because nothing is impossible for Him. Therefore, I will continue to believe and do all that He says to me. I will not hold back, shrink back, or fall back. I will banish fear and doubt and walk in confidence, expecting to see the great favor and blessings of God continue the rest of this year and in the years to come. Amen. Are you in agreement with that?
Amen.
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 We worship you, Jesus. We're going to close by just singing a song of thanks to God for this year and express our worship to Him. Before they sing, I just want you to know getting into the Word is vital. And I ordered some more of these Daily Way Bible reading. They're out on the foyer. Grab one if you'll commit to reading through.